And I ain't hit no drop in a minute. No, I'm about my business.
Rappers Got Podcast, episode 63. This is your host, Iggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
And today we wanted to talk about songwriting and why it's important to, you know, kind of diversify and do different things that aren't necessarily working on your own songs and albums. I feel like as artists, quite often we get trapped in this thing where we're trying to achieve fame rather than a steady workflow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that like one of the downfalls of that is you're kind of putting yourself in a box and you're not allowing yourself to kind of achieve more with this industry. I feel like there's so many opportunities in this industry. And if you're just working on a solo artist career, you're boxing yourself in from so many opportunities that are around you. So I would definitely tell a young person out there that you should try writing for other people. And I know like the easiest question that you're going to get with that is like, who am I going to write for, bro?
Mm-hmm.
But like, this is why local community and like actually being around artists is important, because when you're in a room with artists, like it's very easy to throw a line there. Yo, I think you should say this, you know? That is songwriting.
Yep, that's exactly.
Being in the room and being able to help them kind of construct the next line is songwriting. So that's more or less what I'm talking about. And that's just an introductory. Then you get to a point where you're actually sitting there and like penning a song for someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it actually forces us to be more creative with our own music, because we were talking about it before and Bales was saying like, now he writes some songs that could be in a girl's perspective or it could be in a male's perspective, but you know, he's thinking of different scenarios and different situations where this song could apply to this person and that person. And in a way, like as artists, we kind of are directors. We're kind of screenplay writers. We're writing these, you know, well thought out scenarios. I could give you an example from my own music is like, I wrote this song called Easiest Decision, and the whole concept of it is like this dude lives far away from his girl,
mm-hmm.
and she makes trips out to see him and all this. And the whole time he's knowing that he's not all the way right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's doing shit behind her back and all this stuff. And in the song, you know, it's all talking about how like the guy knows that she's better off without him, but still appreciates her, still loves her,
mm-hmm.
you know, but just knows that she's better off without him, right? Now, you listen to a song like that and you go, damn, dude, that's fucked up. You shouldn't have done that. And it's like, nah, that's not me. You know, that song had nothing to do with me. It was just something that I think happened.
And that's like one of the biggest things. Like, I've been in a relationship for about 10 years now, right? So one of the things that it comes to having those songwriting ideas, sometimes you got to say certain shit that you might not really do. Or kind of believe in, or like just like a story of like what's been happening around you. And sometimes for me and my girl, like I got to sometimes sit down and tell her like, all right, this part is kind of facts. This part is kind of fiction, because there's certain points where if I'm writing a certain song, she just thinks that it's coming from me internally, which, you know, that's the outside perspective from a lot of people too. It's like, if I'm writing something and my music is true to me, then that must mean that I had to go through this or that I've experienced this before. So if I'm talking about a song like fucking somebody bitch, or if I'm talking about a song about cheating, she instantly thinks, oh, that means that you're doing these things towards me. And it's like, no, there's a separation between that. And like, you'll see that a lot, like a lot of people, like when they ask artists, how are you doing with your wife? And you know, you're saying all these things. And it's just like, at that point, you got to realize that it's songwriting, but it doesn't always seem like that to people on the outside perspective. It seems like that's something that you're personally going through.
Well, I think that it's hard for people to comprehend that, like, because especially in hip hop, there's such a stigma against not being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And we both hold that same stigma to people. You know, you look at someone who's talking about guns and shit, and then you see them and they're not really about that. A part of you goes, why are you talking about that shit?
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
But what is the difference between that and then making up like a relationship scenario? I would say that the major difference between the two would be that the one, no one's going to try you. The other one, you might get tried in this landscape.
Yeah, like it turns, like it boils over to something that's actually physically going to happen in real life.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you're creating love stories, it's very infrequent that someone is going to come and fucking slap you in the face because you cheated in a song. You know what I mean?
I know you're talking about my girl on that song. Like, bro, right. I don't know her. What are you talking about?
Your girl. No, but I think that that's the main difference between that when it comes to hip hop. But like, I would say that the average person's life is not that exciting.
No, definitely not.
Like, there's definitely excitement. There's definitely stories behind every human being. But in order to like write these well-crafted songs, there has to be some type of imagination.
Yes.
And you have to be thinking outside the box and thinking about all these different scenarios that might apply to other people. I would say that the reason why Drake is so popular is because he was one of the best at doing it. You know, like Drake wrote all of these love stories, or he wrote all of these situations. And it felt like at one point, every Drake song that came out, you were like, damn, yeah, I feel that. Cause mm-hmm. that's like I went through that.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think Drake went through every scenario he talked about?
Definitely
not. Fuck no. Because it's impossible. One person can't go through every single scenario. Now, do I think Drake has been in a lot of relationships? Probably. But did every single one go horribly wrong? Was there all this content to write about? Probably not.
Probably not.
You know, and then you go to like a pop singer and, you know, all pop singers pretty much have all these different writers on their songs.
Mm-hmm.
A couple episodes ago, we talked about songwriting camps and how a lot of these hits are coming from songwriting camps. And in a songwriting camp, you're taking a bunch of strangers. They're creating a song. They're riffing and making these full-out songs with the sole intention of someone else singing them.
And that's like the most beautiful experience right there, because at that point, you know, they say that's more minds are greater than one. That's not how the saying goes, but you know, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But it just comes down to like, all right, so I have this idea of how this song may and go as far as like the plot. And then, you know, you fill in the words, or you fill in like the song structure or the chorus. And, you know, there's been certain times where like, you know, you've probably given me some things that I put on a song. So then I put you on the songwriting credits. And there was times where you put me on a song and you wrote things for it. And then I was just like, you just needed the voice. And it was just like, it fits perfectly for what it needs to be. So it's like, yeah, I'll do it. And then my name's in the credits. So if something happens to this song, it's like, oh shit, Joshua Bailey, which is my legal name, is like, oh shit, it's actually in the song. And that's, you know, same thing like when we look at, you know, Mark Barino's name, you know, under the credits and things, like, oh shit, like your actual name is on this piece of art. And it's, you know, that's what it's about. You know, it's more so about the collaborations and making great music more so than the me. Like, it's one thing if you make yourself a fire artist, cool, and you blow up and get there. But if you're able to write some shit to get some other artists on, just based off of just like you knowing them or knowing their story and being able to craft something, I think that says more so about you as an artist or a creative more so than just kind of like putting yourself on. Because in a sense, you kind of know yourself and you know who you are and like what you want to write about.
Mm-hmm.
But having to be able to take yourself out of your shoes and go into somebody else's shoes, like I can't really imagine me writing like a song for like, you know, the City Girls. But Yachty did it. And I would have never fucking knew.
Right. I think if you listen to enough of someone's music, you could kind of figure out a way to write like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have to like be part of every situation that you're talking about. Like if you're writing for the City Girls, I'm hoping that you're not twerking and fucking doing weird shit, right? Mm. If you are, whatever you're into. But, you know, I think that there's a certain art to being able to listen to someone's catalog and then kind of write a song like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and going back to what you said about, you know, having more minds on the work, right? I ran a small business for 3 years with the studio. I'll be the first person to say that it is not sustainable to run a small business by yourself.
No.
It's just not, right? And what we always talk about is that as artists, we are small businesses, okay? And sometimes we look at that and we go, all right, cool. So I'll need a manager and I'll need a creative director and I'll need this person, I'll need that person. And we look at all the jobs that are built around your artistry. But the same applies to when you're creating your product, right? Like, mm-hmm. yeah, you could be the brain trust behind the product, but like having more minds there in the room to create the product is only going to lead to a better product. Now, obviously, you have to have the right minds.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have selfless minds. Because I think why me and you could write a song together is because neither one of us has an ego about that song.
Nope.
At the end of the day, if you threw me a bar, I throw you a bar. If I write a chorus for you, if you wrote bars for... I'm not going to sit there and be like, just so you know, I wrote that chorus and he sang it. That's so fucking stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, because at the end of the day, the goal should be making a better product.
Yes.
So if we accomplish the better product by, you know, throwing help each other's way, then I think that accomplishing the goal is really, that's what we're set out to do. So I don't necessarily care who wrote on it. I don't care if I have producer homies and I construct a beat and then one of them I know is nasty with their bass lines and one of them has a real ear for samples and I'm constructing something and I have them come in and lay down their own finishing touches on the shit. I'm not going to sit there and feel like, now it's not my beat anymore.
Yeah, like this was all me before. Now they came here and fucked my shit up. Like, nah, it's actually to benefit the record. And it's like, when you think about the biggest names in the industry right now, right? Kanye West, writers all around. And I didn't even have no fucking idea for a while because he was such a great rapper on his own. But as time went on, you started to see like he kind of just left the rap shit alone in a sense and had more people coming in and writing for him. Same thing with Drake. But, you know, people got mad at him with the Quentin Miller shit. But it's just like, yeah, Quentin Miller may have wrote some raps for Drake, but you know that Drake is actually writing for other people as well. So it's just like, this shit is like a never-ending circle. And I think that a lot of times in our artist's mind, in the perspective is that, oh, I'm fraudulent, especially in rap. Like, I'm fraudulent if I don't do it on my own. I'm not considered a lyricist.
Fuck especially in rap. It's only in rap.
Only in rap, that's true.
Not especially in rap. Only in rap. Like, any other art form, people are collaborative. And I'm talking any other genre, rather. Mm-hmm. People are collaborative. You go to a country song, bro. These people have a bunch of people in the room writing the song. If you go to a pop song, they're notorious for having a bunch of people writing the song. So only in hip-hop is there... And I get it. It's because of the history of hip-hop. Mm-hmm. Like, when it comes to history of people were standing on corners rapping, people were in parks rapping, right? You have a bunch of people that were sitting there, you know... And the only thing you can do at that time was come off the dome and say some fly shit, right? If you were at a party in the park and there's speakers going and the MC is up there standing there saying fly shit, you were known by how fly the shit you said was, right? So it makes total sense as to why that's such a serious thing with hip hop is being like authentic and original and you have to be yourself and this and that. But like, we're not talking about rapping in the park. We're talking about making hit records. We're talking about trying to achieve Billboard hits. When you're trying to achieve a Billboard hit and you're compared to the likes of like The Weeknd and fucking Katy Perry and Taylor Swift and all these people, dog, you're not fighting at the park, bro. You're fighting with these like megastars who are also getting help from the best songwriters in the world. So why would you put yourself at a disadvantage because there's some weird stigma of, oh, he didn't write that himself? It's fucking stupid.
And like, when you think about that example, right, it's like, if you were at the park and you were freestyling, it would be a little bit different if there was like a guy or somebody behind you in your ear, like while you're rapping, it's like, all right, that seems weird. But if you're in a studio setting and everybody's in that room and a part of the creative process, and there's some lines that get thrown to you or a melody, whatever the case may be, by the time it gets to the regular consumer, nobody's going to have any fucking idea or any clue unless they go to the credits. And I'll tell you this much, regular people are not going to the credits. And it's like, it's as an artist, it started becoming weird to me when I'm talking to certain people who aren't like really in the musical world. And I'm telling them like, yo, you hear that? That sounds like this rapper. I'm pretty sure if you look in the credits, you can see that they wrote it. And they're like, oh shit, that's crazy. I would have never thought it. It's like, yeah, because people are not normally looking for that type of information. People in the industry are, because we like to see who's writing what. And like, even when I seen West Side Boogie, when he wrote on the Kendrick Lamar for SZA, that's like the main thing that everybody kept talking about. And it's just like, he's not physically on the album like Kodak Black is.
Yeah, but he's getting points from that album.
Exactly.
Right.
He has writing credits on like one of the greatest albums that I believe in 2022. Even though he dropped his own album, that's extra promotion. That's extra leverage, I guess, what you would say.
It's also extra money.
Extra money.
Like, bro, again, we're in this to work. Like, we're trying to work. Your name being on the biggest albums in the world, that boosts you up. Like, bro, when they look at that list of songwriters, like, look at Mark. Mark was able to land a deal based on producing one song for Drake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, power. Fam, the job is get on as much shit as you possibly can.
Yes.
So that's why I tell artists, collaborate with as many local artists as you can, especially if you're at a local level. You know, you should be out there trying to work with as many people as possible. Obviously, you got to get your shit up because people don't want to work with artists that they don't think benefit them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simple. If you don't have a following, you have to be incredible. Because if you are incredible at music, if I hear a song from someone that they send me and say, yo, I want you on this song. If the song is great, I'm hopping on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the song has to be good. You know, especially if you're not coming with a following. And now there's a flip side to that. Some people will work with you if you have a big following and the song sucks.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to do either or. You got to have the following and be good, which is like, that's the fucking pinnacle. You have to have the following and not be so great, but you have the following to back up, you know, leverage to why you should work on a track with me.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to be so incredible that I'm willing to look past the fact that you have no listeners, no following, but you're such a good artist that I want to be part of your career and your artistry. And it's important for you to spread yourself around and, you know, hop on that person's record. Even if you don't necessarily think that they're the greatest artist, do they have a following? Do they have any, you know, artists that they work with? Are new people going to hear you? Is it potential that new people are going to start listening to your music?
Mm-hmm. And jump on it.
You know, and you also have to drop your ego when it comes to shit like that.
And you could also look at it like, if you just say you see this artist, maybe they have a look, maybe they have a style, maybe they have just an aura about them. Once again, you could use your own songwriting abilities to take that person who doesn't have really anything, kind of come with an agreement and make that person into something. Because as much as everybody wants to write their own music, everybody does not. Like, I don't think you guys understand, but there's a lot of people who don't write their music. Yes, they start off writing their music, but by the time they sign a deal or something, there's a lot of people in that room. It doesn't just become, oh, you're in your house, in your by yourself in your studio at that point. You're not in like that home studio environment anymore. You're probably in a room with different people that are just trying to give you a different perspective or just kind of throw you a bone as far as like being able to write those things. And it's just like, once again, are we in it for the fame? Are we in it for the ego boost? Or are we in it because we love to create the music and we love to get our sound out there? Like, one of the biggest things for me, once again, was I started realizing it's like, all right, at this point, I've made 52 songs about basically some shit I can do. How can I translate it where it becomes something more of for other artists? And then I started like looking up at hashtags like singer-songwriters and songwriters and shit. And you started seeing like different people, because like there's certain songs where like I don't feel sexy enough, like these R&B type vibes, but it's like I could probably see somebody else doing this shit and like, you know, fucking having a chest open out and all the shit like that. But for me, it's just like I don't want to do that, but I can write a song for somebody that can fit that description and kind of make it something.
See, for me, the flip side would be I've listened to so much hardcore rap my whole life. I'm not a street dude. I'm not a street rapper, but I could put bars together.
Yeah, exactly.
If one of these street dudes needed someone to craft songs, if a street dude wanted to become a successful artist and they wanted to give up the streets and become a successful artist, they can call someone like me into the room and I could write the bars for them that work for their lifestyle.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Say it like this. Do it like this. Because, yo, not for nothing, artists have been doing that forever. Jeezy is a known person who did not know how to rap. He didn't know how to count bars. He didn't know how to rap. They said that in order for Jeezy to record a song, he had to do it in so many bits and pieces because they had to move so much shit around because he was off beat.
Everywhere.
He was this, he was that. Right? But, like, you look at a young Jeezy and, like, look at the career he's had.
Fucking amazing.
You know what I'm saying? And that's all just collaboration. You know, like, we have to, and again, it's an ego thing with a lot of us where we're like, you know, I don't want to help that person because they might steal my shine.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that, bro. Like, once you get to the next level of this shit, you're going to realize that everyone's so collaborative that, like, that thought process doesn't even cross people's minds. You just got to drop that shit. You really got to drop the ego type shit because it's not helpful in music.
And you also got to think that being a singer, songwriter... I'm just call it a singer-songwriter. Now that's fucking singer-songwriter shit stuck in my head. But then being a songwriter, you also have to understand, if you with that BMI, them ASCAP, you're going to get them checks. As long as you register in them songs and you're getting your proper credits on said songs, you're going to get paid for writing a song. So it's not
and it doesn't even have to be necessarily on BMI and ASCAP. Like, yeah, that's one place for it. But like, bro, if you help someone write a song, there are splits on every distribution platform. Yep.
And they could probably just pay you a flat fee right up there. Like, yo, this is my fee to write out a song for you. This is my track record. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
At that point, you have the leverage to decide where do you, what do you want to do with your songwriting abilities? Do you want to keep these for yourself? Do you want to dish them off to somebody? Do you want to shop them around? Same thing that producers do. They fucking make a beat. They'll send it to certain people at first, shop it around. It's like, you don't want it. Then they just release the shit out to the world. And they'll keep it for themselves and start rapping on it. Hence Metro Boomin, all those other, you know. Mm-hmm. It's
Sunny Digital, like all these guys. I think that, you know, when it comes to getting your just due on records, like, points are a thing. And if you don't know the term points, like, there's percentage points that you get ownership of an album once you're a writer on it, when you're a producer on it. So, like, the most beneficial thing, because, like, yeah, we're intrigued by the flat fee that's up front. Yo, pay me $500 and I'll hop on your record.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what is that record going to gross? You know, because that $500 might not be enough.
Shit.
You know, if that record blows up and you took a $500 flat fee rather than a couple points on the project, then you fucked up.
I think 50 Cent was talking about that. Somebody
he was. Shout Money X out. Shout Money X out.
Right? Yep. He wanted to take the upfront money. He didn't take the percentage.
And he wanted like $50,000 upfront because mm-hmm. that was his production cost. He wanted $50,000 upfront. He wound up taking that. And I think it would have grossed him over $1 million if he would have just taken points on the album.
And that's when we talk about that whole portion. You got to make sure your business is in order and understand what is there. Like, granted, maybe he didn't know 50 Cent was going to be who 50 Cent was. But at the same time, it's still just like, you got that 50K, but that 50K probably went way faster than that million would have came from the points of the album. And just, you know.
But see, that's the risk you run. Like, first off, you have to be a visionary. You have to see that this person has the potential to go somewhere,
mm-hmm.
right? But you also have to take risks. And that's why it's important to be on a lot of shit. You know, like, I'll give an example. When I was running the studio, I would take a picture of the artist before they record and everything. And I had a wall full of pictures. And the reason why I was doing that was because I want to showcase that I worked with all these people because you never know where people are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted all these artists on the wall because I wanted to know, like, this person got his start in this studio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look back and you see all those pictures and you start seeing like, oh, I know that guy. I know that guy. Like, that shit's bound to happen. You know, if enough artists come through the studio, someone's going to land something,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's why it was important for me to be part of their story, you know, and like, with studio shit, you are taking a flat fee.
Yeah, mixing, essentially, yeah.
Mixing, you know, very, if you're going like bigger, you know, bigger label project, you're more likely to get points if you're an engineer,
mm-hmm.
you know, rather than like flat fee cost. The label will give you percentage points, you get recouped, all that. But it's important to, you know, be a part of everyone's story when it comes to legacy in this shit. You know, I wanted to work at one point with so many artists because I just wanted to be a part of the journey.
Yeah,
because
you understand the vision and be able to understand like what could possibly be. And it's like, I think about when fucking Mos Def was in the Kanye West documentary. He was on Dream Champs talking about mm-hmm. it too. He's like,
yeah, I saw it.
Like, how did you know that Kanye West is going to be the one? He's like, yo, I just seen it. Like, you just could tell it. And even though he probably said like Kanye was saying some fucked up shit, he's like, even with all that, like, I always understood like who he was going to be or that he was going to make it to that next level. And I'm pretty sure like within the room with them, Tyler, Kwali, Mos Def, and Kanye, they was throwing fucking, and that era, just throwing a bunch of shit at each other and kind of figuring things out as time went on. But it's just like, at the end of the day, it was just fucking amazing fucking music. Like that two-word song, that's like one of the best songs that, like, in that time.
Yeah, of all
like,
time.
Like, that shit is fucking fire.
That's one of the best hip-hop songs of all time.
Yeah. And it's just like, I'm pretty sure it wasn't just like Kanye in there by himself. Like, I'm pretty sure everybody was in there collaboratively doing everything and putting everything together.
Bro, and when you're rapping on a song like Two Words, right? For Mos Def to be in the room with you, him spitting his bars in front of you, even if he only has four bars written down, him spitting those bars, you're going to hear them shits and you're going to be like, okay, I got to go harder.
Mm-hmm.
I hear what he's doing. I got to go way harder.
Mm-hmm.
So you might scratch out a couple lines that you wrote and now start writing again and start going harder and harder. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, there is like collaboration is not just about, oh, we made a good record. It's the energy that you bounce off each other.
And it's the competitiveness in a sense where it's not like, it's like a friendly rivalry. Like how I look at it is like if me and a person are in there writing and like, you know, we both feel like we have some things that we both bring to the table. It's like, I'm a Dragon Ball Z fan. Like, Goku and Vegeta always constantly fighting with each other. And they're just, not they don't like each other. They just constantly fighting with each other because they're just, they like fighting with each other because they become stronger together. And they understand that if we continue to do this, we're not going to do nothing but become stronger. And that's like, when you're in a room with somebody and you're building that relationship and you're able to bounce ideas off each other and get things off, it's just like, it makes an amazing product. And even sometimes you don't have to physically be in the same room. Like, when I got Josh Herrera on that song, for me, it was just like, I when I heard the song, I was like, I don't want to do a second verse. I don't want to do a second anything. I want him to be on it, solely him. And I talked him through it. We went back and forth as far as like, you know, what could be changed, what could be different. And when it fucking came out, I was like, this is the most amazing shit. Like, it sounded like a fucking soundtrack to something, to, like a superhero movie or some shit to me. So it was like, that would have only came about if I was more so in the collaborative portion of it. And at the same time, make sure he get his credits and he got his splits. Everybody's happy.
Joshua Rare is one of those artists that you could just tell has that thing.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there are certain artists where, like, I've worked with artists and it's not always the same type of artist. Sometimes, like, I could think of a couple people that in my time running the studio, I was like, damn, son, if they understood promotion, if they understood marketing, if they really like understood where to allocate their money. And that's one of the things that makes me want to start managing artists,
mm-hmm.
because it bothers me to see someone that I know for a fact, if they put their money in the right place, they would be a huge success. It bothers me to see that and kind of just let it go by,
mm-hmm.
because for me, when you're engineering, your focus is just on making the record sound better. Like, I don't want to jump too far into your bag because mm-hmm. I don't want to seem like I'm controlling the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I try to take my step back, but like, I'll be upfront with someone and tell them like, bro, you need to market your shit because you have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of artists that don't necessarily have it and have to work so much harder than the rest. And I'll say I was one of them. You know what I mean? Shit. I'm still one of them.
Me too.
in order for me to get to the places that I've gotten to in life, like, I had to work 10 times harder than the next person because I didn't just naturally have it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't born with that musical gene.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I've done has been hard work to get there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't listen to my first songs and say, wow, I was tremendous back then. Nah, bro, I was ass. And it took a lot for me to actually get to a point where I was even satisfied with my own music. You know, you always have that weird musical thing where you think you're going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, you listen back to old records and you start to understand like, damn, like I really didn't have it. But then you see artists that do.
Yep.
Like their first song, you listen to it and you're like, holy shit. Like,
what the fuck
bro?
Is this?
Right.
How the fuck did you do this? It took like, me fucking your, exactly. 12, 13 years. What the right. fuck is going on
and
here?
And that's why, like, not everyone has the same trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have a different trajectory. And if you could step in, and that's the beautiful thing about Rapper's Guide, is, like, if you're watching this, we're able to step in and tell you, yo, you need to market your shit. Like, it's not luck, so get out there and work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's beautiful is because, like, I like that big brother role when it comes to music because we didn't have that shit. And I think it's selfish to not, you know,
impart that,
you know, not dish it out when you can, you know? So like we sit here for free and we tell people what they should be doing with their shit. And, you know, you see the comments where people are like, who is this person even? And it's like just someone trying to help.
Yeah, exactly. It don't matter what it is. It's not like the message is wrong or that the message is trying to lead right. you to the wrong objective. It's like trying to get you to that point. And once again, it's like, you know, within responding to comments sometimes, it's just people just be wanting to say stuff sometimes they don't really understand. And when you explain it to them, it's like, oh, yeah, that's what I thought it was. And it's like, yeah, it's just that you see somebody instantly and just think, okay, this person is trying to dupe me or and whatever the source may be. But at the end of the day, we just try to make sure it's a little bit better for you on the long run as you do proceed. Because once again, I wasn't really thinking about songwriting when I was kind of coming up in this shit. It was just like second, not even thing to me. But now it's like, looking at people getting the bags for it and understanding that being behind the scenes is where the money usually is. It's like, oh shit, I've been fucking up, huh?
That's where it 100% is. It's all in production. It's all in songwriting credits. Like that's where the money is. And you're going to see that. You know what I'm saying? There's some songwriters that you have never heard of in your life, but they are part of some of the biggest records of all time.
And you can walk past them, but they don't have the celebrity or fame, so you think that they're a nobody. But then when you go, oh, I'm not worried about that guy. Then you go into that fucking studio and it's like, what the fuck? I just walked past this dude. I didn't know who the fuck he was. I thought he was just a basic dude.
I sold some gear to this guy the other day. He had like a famous look to him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was. He was wearing some gold frames and he just looked famous. And he was not like trying to be flashy at all,
mm-hmm.
but he just looked famous, right? So then I remembered his name. A couple days later, Beyonce drops the track list to Act 2 or whatever. And I see the same name. And I'm like, nah, it can't be. I look him up, and it was him.
Same fucking dude.
Just he's never a be songwriter known. On Beyonce songs. And he just looked like he was something. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. Like, bro, when you're a songwriter, and I could tell that he was living good.
Cold frames, all that's
well, I could just tell. I could just tell. Like, I'm sure he was driving a nice car. I could just tell that he was living comfortably. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But like, if you've never seen him or heard of him, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't think anything of it.
You wouldn't think anything of it. You wouldn't know that he's a songwriter for Beyonce Records and all that good shit. You know what I'm saying? And that's the beauty of songwriting, is that, like, I can't see myself being a famous artist. I don't think I'd be good with the pressure of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd be good with all that notoriety.
That comes with it, yep.
You know, podcasting is one thing, because podcasting is easy. I'm just talking, mm-hmm. right? I don't have to, you know, keep a certain public image, because at the end of the day, like, podcasting is meant for you to either agree or disagree. There's a lot of people that watch this shit and disagree with yep. what I say. You know what I mean? So I'm cool with that part. But when it comes to like being a star artist, I don't think I can keep up with that lifestyle. I like that background shit. I like the fact that I'm able to take my girl to dinner and you don't have people walking up and bothering you. You know yep. what I mean? And I want to keep my life like that for the rest of my life. So, you know, I think that if you want to work in music, there are so many different fields that you could work in that you just have to broaden whatever you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And if you're comfortable being a songwriter rather than a famous artist, there's a job in that. You know
keep,
what I'm saying?
Keep writing them songs. And if you are an artist, you still, to become a better artist, you just be writing other shit in other people's perspective. Even if you're not going to use it to sell it to somebody or give it to somebody for them to record on their own, definitely would recommend it, because you're going to, you know, get some money from it. But you're still improving your writing skills. And, you know, like, once again, like what Dig was basically saying, like, I know a lot of us want to be famous, and I know it's always been in my head since I was younger. But the older I got and the more I started hearing these celebrities, these artists, like, speak out and just about all the negative things that comes with, you know, the notoriety, the money, the fast life. It's like, I know personally for me, I know myself enough. It's not really the life that I'm looking towards to live. And I have no problem with then being that artist that's in the background or the one that's writing the songs, because you're going to live a little bit more comfortably. I can go to a mall. I don't have people like going crazy over me. I hate when people even like look at me or like I'm in a, like a room and people are like trying to touch me. Like, I don't want to like, you know, deal with that, honestly. You know, yeah. So it's just like, you got to be also mindful, because like you had mentioned before in one of those early episodes, like, we're kind of all like introverts, like most of the time artists, like, we're not really into that weird shit. Some people are built to be in front of the spotlight and to be part of the fame, or it may seem like they're built that way.
No, there's some people that are built for it. You can just tell. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could tell the artists that are built for it versus the artists that aren't. Like, if you look at a Bryson Tiller, you could just tell he's not made for that. Mm-hmm. Like, he was made to make records in a studio. Bryson Tiller is probably more of a songwriter than he is a famous artist.
Exactly.
His songs just happened to be very good. So mm-hmm. it blew him up. But like, you could tell when he was performing, you could tell when he was doing interviews that he's not built for the spotlight. And that's fine. Because guess what? Bryson Tiller can go in the background and start writing songs for young artists, or start writing songs for
vocals,
anyone.
Anything.
And he could be very successful in doing that. The Party Next Door is another one. Like, you could tell he doesn't want to be a superstar.
Yeah, pretty much anybody in Drake's camp.
Nah, I wouldn't even say that, though, because you could tell there's artists in Drake's camp that do want to be superstars, like a Majid Jordan. And you know, there's artists that you could tell that they do want to be out there. But, like, why would a Party Next Door gravitate toward writing songs for Rihanna and writing songs for Drake rather than, you know, making all the hits for himself?
Yeah, also true. Yeah,
and people give him shit for that. They're like, damn, Drake just steals all Party songs. Did you ever once think that maybe Party doesn't want the fame that Drake has? Did you ever once think that maybe Party is the one that openly wants Drake to have his songs because he likes writing the music? He likes being in the background, but he doesn't necessarily like all the superstardom.
And that's what the same thing like Quentin Miller said too. When I watched his interview, he's like, "Yeah, I just like I love doing this shit. I love like writing." And it's like, unfortunately, he's not able to get paid for it because of a deal he signed earlier. Which, once again, we always make sure you guys pay attention to. Don't the sign shit,
print, yeah,
before you just be, you know, sign the shit away, even if you are a small time. But he says, "I just love doing this shit." And it's like, he had the choice to say he didn't want to write for Meek Mill, or whatever, and that whole situation, you know, transpire. But at the end of the day, he has his choices. I'm just going to work for Drake at this point. Like, he literally said that himself. Like, I just wanted to write for Drake and I was just sending him shit all the time. There's nothing wrong with that, because you may not have the direct popularity or fame like Drake has, but it still doesn't mean that you're not known. And you're more known by your peers more so than the general public. And being known by your peers, especially if you went behind the scenes, is more important, because guess what? Yo, we working with this new artist. We wondering, you know, how we going to get them off the ground. We trying to find some songwriters. Who are we going to call? Well, let's call Bales. He got some great hooks.
Right.
Now I'm in a room.
You're in the room. You're getting paid.
To make music.
Right.
What we always talk about. That's what we're trying to do at the end of the day. So you just got to be mindful. It's not always about the fame. Use your skill as a songwriter. Use your skills as an artist to kind of put yourself in a better position. Put yourself in those rooms and allow yourself to grow as an artist and also help other people along the way grow within songwriting. And also, if you are a person out there who's like, I never had anybody write for me, open up your mind a little bit. It's perfectly fine. Nothing's going to happen. When it reaches the general public, nobody's going to question it. I'm pretty sure if you took a poll in the world, does Dr. Dre, who cares? Like, who wrote their lyrics? Like, does it matter? Nobody's going to give a fuck. Besides right. the hip-hop enthusiasts.
Right. All right, guys. Rappers Got Podcast. We're signing out. This is Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
Peace out, guys.